Good morning.
Good morning.
If you're a member of Emmanuel Reformed Baptist Church, then I'm sure you share my joy and the joy of so many others in hearing every new announcement regarding those who apply for membership. We are seeing God building His church. We are seeing Christ building His church right here even in SeaTac, Washington. And praise be to God for the work that He is performing in our midst. We have much to be thankful for. And I trust that God will continue to prove His faithfulness to our local church as we submit ourselves to the full counsel of His Word, as we've been doing and as we hopefully will continue to do by the grace that He provides us with. And part of our efforts to be submissive to the teaching of Scripture, part of our efforts to be in subjection to the comprehensive teaching of God's Word has been manifested through our ecclesiological focus that we have devoted to the bulk of 2025, and as we have most recently been working through the book of Titus. You'll recall from our earlier studies in the book of Titus that this letter is one of three pastoral epistles that were written by the Apostle Paul in the mid to late 60s A.D., and this particular letter was originally written to be a guide to spiritual health in the local church. From start to finish, we see Paul setting forth essential ingredients, timeless distinctives that will characterize any healthy congregation. We've already begun to see this approach put on display through what is contained in the first three sections of chapter 1. After beginning his letter with a four-verse prologue saturated with theological richness, saturated with warm affection, we observe Paul developing the first essential ingredient for spiritually healthy congregations from verse 5 to verse 9 of Titus 1. You'll recall that that second major section in the book of Titus could be summarized in the following manner. We saw the necessity of leadership by biblically qualified pastors. The necessity of leadership by biblically qualified pastors from verse 5 to verse 9 of Titus 1. We found that if a local church is going to enjoy genuine and long-lasting spiritual health, then it must necessarily be led by men who meet the divinely prescribed requirements for spiritual leadership. This is true from the standpoint of establishing a culture of doctrinal purity and moral purity within a local church, but it's also true from the standpoint of protecting a church from any doctrinal threat or moral threat that could potentially arise. It was with an awareness to the threats of doctrinal drift or moral compromise that led Paul to transition into the next major section of the letter, that section that we spent a considerable amount of time reviewing in recent weeks, and we saw that section displayed from verse 10 to verse 16 of Titus 1. As we learned in that major section, that third major section in the letter, local churches that are spiritually healthy will be protected from false teaching by biblically qualified pastors. Or to state it in a different way, we beheld from verse 10 to verse 16 of Titus 1 the necessity of pastoral protection from false teaching or from false teachers. The necessity of pastoral protection from false teaching or from false teachers. This is the context. This is the logical progression that now brings us to the fourth major section in the book of Titus. And it's to this section that I want to invite you to turn with me. At this time, it's our first time reading this section together, Titus chapter 2 and verses 1 through 10. Titus chapter 2 and verses 1 to 10. We're going to be here for the foreseeable future, God willing, as we work our way through this precious letter. And let us now read this new section together before going to the Lord once more in prayer. Titus chapter 2. Reading from verse 1 to verse 10. But as for you, speak the things which are proper for sound doctrine, that the older men may be sober, reverent, temperate, sound in faith, in love, in patience. The older women likewise, that they be reverent in behavior, not slanderers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they admonish the young women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, homemakers, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be blasphemed. Likewise, exhort the young men to be sober-minded, in all things showing yourself to be a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing integrity, reverence, incorruptibility, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that one who is an opponent may be ashamed, having nothing evil to say of you. Exhort bondservants to be obedient to their own masters, to be well-pleasing in all things, not answering back, not pilfering, but showing all good fidelity, that they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in all things. Brethren, this is the word of the living God, and these are further instructions, further distinctives of spiritually healthy congregations that we have the privilege of working through today and in the weeks to come. Let us ask for God's help as we begin our study of this new section. Our Father in heaven, we are grateful to expand our focus from that narrow consideration of pastors and pastoral responsibilities, pastoral qualifications, all that we've considered in recent weeks. We're grateful to move beyond that subject now to consider the broader life of a spiritually healthy congregation. Father, we know that we cannot live up to these characteristics, these virtues, without the help of the Holy Spirit. He must be the one to lead us into all truth, both intellectually and in the practical ways of living. So we do pray that as your word goes forth in this hour, that the Spirit would convict us of sin, that He would lead us into righteousness, that He would help our minds to be renewed and transformed, so that we can apply these realities to our lives individually and to our church collectively. Help me, Father, to proclaim Your truth with effectiveness, with power from on high. Help Your people, Father, in this hour to be fed, to be enriched, to rejoice in the reality that we are meeting with our God, that we are meeting with our Father who is in heaven. And Father, draw lost and perishing sinners to Yourself, even as we continue with this heavy concentration on ecclesiology. We trust that in Your providence we are exactly where we ought to be in Your Word at this time in the life of our church. Crown this remainder of the service with Your favor. May Your Word go forth with power. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. In God's providence, there's a sense in which our transition into the second chapter of Titus began with the sermon that Pastor Bart Carlson preached back on August 10th. If you're able to join us for our morning service on that Lord's Day, you'll recall that Pastor Carlson preached a thematic sermon on the text of Psalm 71. And in this thematic sermon,